Amen, amen. Family, good morning.
Good morning.
Our God will win it for us. Amen, family. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Job this morning. We're doing a series on the book of Genesis. We're going to start in Job. Amen. I think it'll fire you on up. But family, it is so good to be here. It is so good to see your faces. It's so good to be here in Johannesburg. This really is a dream fulfilled. For those of you who don't know, we are part of a movement of churches, over 100 churches on all the populated continents of the globe, amen, committed to seeing this world evangelized in our generation. Now, I was sitting down studying the Bible with a friend recently, actually just talking with him at FNB, and it's just shocking to see how many people who claim to be Christians believe different things.
Yeah.
They go to different churches, teaching different doctrines, and no one says, hey, you know what? Can we sit down? Can we get united in the Word of God? Because that's, Satan will work through division. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And so we got to have a deep, if you're a guest here today, you are welcome. It is so good to have you here. So grateful for Jacques and Jeanette really helping us to have a great base here. And now the mission team has arrived, and we're settling quickly, largely because of their efforts for us. And so thank you, Jacques. Thank you, Jeanette, for all your love and support. Amen. Coming to South Africa really has been a dream 10 years in the making. After about 10 years of ministry in the U.S., leading churches in New York and Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, and then 3 years in Africa, in the motherland, in Lagos, Nigeria. We got some Nigerians in the crowd right here, amen. My wife and I now have the privilege to oversee all of our work here in Africa, starting right here in Johannesburg. The dream is that from Johannesburg, this will be the headquarters. This will be the missions training center to see all the 54 countries in this great continent be one for the Lord. Amen. And so be praying, because right now we actually have over 1,100 disciples in churches and remnant groups across the continents. Amen. So there's a lot of work that God is going to be able to do through us. Amen. Please continue to be praying for our official planning September 1st. Amen. We're going to have great friends coming in from around the world coming in to support that work as well. And it's encouraging because it's the first day of spring. Amen. I'm still getting used to winter in July. You know, I'm an American. So, you know, I was born in New York. And so I'm still getting used to, like, July is freezing. And, you know, and the funny thing is, I was actually converted as a student at Cornell University in New York, upstate New York. So I'm used to being around, like, 4 feet of snow. But being 3 years in Lagos has, like, just made me soft. Now, because you walk out there, you're, like, sweat. You can't wear a suit like this in Lagos. You'll be sweating by the time you get to your car. But I'm loving the cuisine. I'm loving the diversity of the people. This is the Rainbow Nation. Amen, family. And that's the way it needs to be in God's church. I'm still getting used to, like, the slang expressions, though. Like, you know, I'm getting the how is it and brah. But the buy a donkey. I'm getting some. But I don't understand why the traffic lights are called robots, though. I still don't get that one. Like, turn right at the robot up the street. I'm like, wait, what? I'm going to get there. But since this is a new church planting, we're beginning a new series on the book of Genesis. Amen. New beginnings. And I pray that it'll really deepen our knowledge of God. Because it's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to really know God. A lot of people can say, I know about Barack Obama, but they don't really know Barack Obama. Are you with me right there? And in the same way, a lot of people think they know God because they go and they sit down. And for many years, I grew up knowing Bible stories, going to church, being a church musician, playing the piano, playing the organ. But I didn't really know who God was. I didn't have a relationship with him. I wasn't a disciple of Jesus. And so prayerfully after this, for those of you who are guests today, I would love to sit down. We'd love to sit down with us. Let's connect in the Word of God. Let's study the Bible together. So encouraging to see different friends studying the Bible. Amen, too. And just how God is truly working already to inspire us. Amen. Where is Bashir? It's so awesome to see. I know it was fire to see Bashir get baptized last Sunday. Amen. very encouraged to welcome our newest brother right there. The title of the message today is simply The Voice of Creation. And we're going to look in Genesis in just a moment. But I want to start, before we get to the book of Genesis, I want to start with a book that many scholars believe was the first book of the Bible. The book of Job. Take a look with me. Job chapter 37. Again, the title is called The Voice of Creation. Let's read in Job 37, starting in verse 2. We are a Bible church, so we read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you're a guest here today, please look on with someone who maybe invited you. Hey, Kaya, very good to see you. Welcome. Job 37, starting in verse 2. The Bible reads, "Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, 'Fall on the earth,' and to the rain shower, 'Be a mighty downpour.' So that," why does he do all this? "So that all men he has made may know his work. He stops every man from his labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens. The tempests come out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them at his direction. They swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish men or to water his earth and show his love. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders." When's the last time we've stopped and considered the wonders of God? "Do you know how God controls the clouds and make his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised, those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies? Hard as a mirror of cast bronze, tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would any man ask to be swallowed up? Now no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north, he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, men revere him. For does he not have regard for all the wise in heart?" And the church said, amen. Is that an awesome scripture right there? Man, I mean, the writer of Job right here, he's inspiring us to remember that our God, our creator, is real and he's alive. His power is beyond our understanding, created for us to know him and to revere him. And if you're our guest here today, that's what this is all about. We're here to know God and to make him known. That is the goal. And sadly, a lot of people who call themselves Christians really don't know God because they don't know his word. They go to other people to find out who God is. They sit down in churches or build. Of course, we know the church is not the steeple, it's the people. Amen. So we understand that meeting here in the Holiday Inn, this is church. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am with you. Are you with me here? Just because you go to a building with a steeple doesn't mean you're going and attending church. Unless everyone's really committed to this. Are you with me right there?
Yes.
And so it's exciting that we get to start the book of Genesis as new beginnings, because we're praying to have a new beginning in regards to a multitude of people coming to be baptized into Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Now, in any journey, whether it's spiritual or physical, we need to understand where we started in order to comprehend where we need to go.
Yes.
The book of Genesis, turn there with me here.
Come on, bro.
Takes us back beyond recorded history. Through the revelation of God, it unveils the origin both of the universe and of the human race. And the message of Genesis helps us understand who we are, where we came from, and whose we are. It's the beginning of man's relationship with God. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so perhaps this morning, your faith is based on tradition rather than truth. Why do I say that? Because a lot of people, they don't really study the Bible.
Yeah.
So they go to church, they come, they listen, they leave, but it really has no impact in their lives.
Yeah.
Now, that was me for about, all the way through college. No, all the way through high school, even getting into college. Even though I grew up going to church, was a church musician, I stopped going to church for 3 years when I went to Cornell. I just stopped going to church. I went one day. I said, all right, I should probably go to church. And I believe my girlfriend at the time had a friend of hers was a pastor's daughter. So she's like, hey, let's go to this church. Okay. So I walked in and I looked around. I was like, well, no one really looks like me in here. That's just the way the world thinks.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they looked at me and they turned right back around and went about their business. And I was like, okay. And I walked right out. And for the next 3 years, I did not go to church.
Wow.
And it took God waking me up. Literally, me being a moral being. I mean, again, you know, the world loves to, that Nigerians will call the packaging. People love to put on the packaging of being sharp. And, you know, Dr. Austin knows what I'm talking about. You know, they know the packaging of looking sharp. But as much as they try to fix themselves on the outside, the inside's still corrupt and rotting.
Yeah.
They're morally corrupt. Yeah. So they can have the Ivy League degrees and the pedigree and all this stuff. I saw that. But yet, I saw guys cheating on their girlfriends, cheating in classrooms, and that's what I was doing. It took me almost getting an STD for God to wake me up and say, hey, listen, you need to get your life right.
Yeah.
And that's when I was met by a girl in a lunch line. A girl who had just moved from New York City, came all the way upstate New York, I guess that would be 6 hours, to go to Cornell University. In a lunch line, she comes and cuts in front of me. Oh, I'm so sorry, excuse me. Then turns around again and says, you know, I'd like to invite you to the singles retreat my church is having. And I was like, singles retreat? That sounds great. And she just looked at me, she was like, no, it's not like that. We're actually going to apply the Bible to our life and not be hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Just shut me down.
Yes!
And I was like, amen. I didn't say amen. I said, okay. So I gave her my number, but she didn't give me hers. Amen. She now gave my number to these brothers who were in Syracuse. Now, Syracuse is an hour and a half away from where Cornell is. They call me up. Andrew. Yeah. Hey. Bring a ring. Hey. Yeah. Is this Andrew? Yeah, this is Andrew. Hi. Hi, my name is Kirk. Yeah, I wanted to see, I heard you're interested in studying the Bible. I was like, I guess. okay, well, you know, we'll come down to Cornell and meet you on campus and study the Bible with you. These guys drove an hour and a half. A white guy, a black guy, another guy drove down. and I was shocked because when I sat down, I was like, first of all, I was expecting some old guy that I couldn't relate to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm looking at guys my age. And they were sharp. I mean, again, you know what I mean. I'm like, they're sharp. And this guy played for the basketball team, walked onto the SU basketball team as an engineer. This other guy, art major, sharp guy. This other guy, I forget what he was doing. But long story short, he's the other guy. And we sat down and right there, we studied the Word of God. And I realized, oh my gosh, I didn't even know why the Bible is true. I couldn't prove to you why the Bible is the Word of God, but these guys could.
Wow. Yeah.
They opened up the Word of God, start showing me evidences about the water cycle, evaporation and condensation. And I was a pre-med major. I was a science major. You had to convince me that the Bible was the Word of God. I was like, okay, you guys, and you guys know your stuff, and you're my age, and you're teaching? You mean everybody in your church knows how to teach the Bible too? They're like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We all get trained to teach the Bible.
Come on.
I have never seen a church like, you know what? I'm going to come to your church.
Come on, bro.
I get up early in the morning. I'm like, you know what? I know it's an hour and a half drive. I'm going to get. And we go, and I walk into that church. And guys, black, white, Asian, Latino, even they had Native American up in there.
Wow.
And I was like, this is awesome. And it was powerful. Maybe if you're a guest here today, you've noticed it. Like, we actually want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we desire to get to know you.
Yeah.
You ever go to churches and they're like, peace be with you. And also with you. Like, what is that? You don't know me. I mean, that's ridiculous. Are you with me right here? And then what was convicting is when guys were talking to me, like, Andrew, so, yeah, tell me about your life, man. So what do you want to do? Okay. Well, and then they started getting home, like, yeah, Andrew, you know, pray for me. You know, I've been struggling with some sins in my life. I'm trying to overcome certain sins, like masturbation, pornography. How about you? And I'm like, Dude, I don't even know you. Now, I didn't say that, but in my head, I was like, wow, this guy's getting open about his sins with no fear. And I'm like, this is different. Because I've gone to churches where it's all about like, let me tell you how much I know. Let me tell you how much what God has done for me. And I shall come and give my testimony. And I'm like, okay. And I'll be over there playing the piano like, oh, yeah. Oh, you see the churches where they're running up, jumping around, doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, now, I know you were in the club Saturday nights. And now you're up here singing about Amazing Grace and talking about what the Holy Spirit's doing through you. I'm like, You see, I had to come to grip. I didn't want hypocrisy. And if you're a guest here this morning, I hope you don't want hypocrisy either. We're not a perfect church. We're a baby church here. We're just getting started. But I'll tell you one thing. You may not know me, but I can tell you one thing. I'm going to call you to this. And if this is what you want to follow, then you're in good hands. Amen. Let's go over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 here. It's going to be exciting to turn in. But while you're turning there, I'm going to give you an interesting story. Because, as I said, Genesis really, in a lot of ways, helps us to understand why we believe in God. As I told you, before I answered the call of the ministry, I was training to be become a physician. So I have a scientific background. And really, to understand our beginning here, there's two options. Either one, we are the product of random chance, right, in an impersonal universe. Or two, we're literally the craftsman's like work of an intelligent designer. And you got to decide which one do you believe, right? We're going to read here in Genesis 1, but what's powerful here, I got to tell you this story real quick. So this is, sorry to share with you, and then we'll jump in. Many years ago, Sir Isaac Newton, who knows who Sir Isaac Newton is? Okay, amen. He had an exact replica of our solar system made in miniature, okay? And at the center was this large golden ball representing the sun, and revolving around it were all these small spheres attached at the ends of rods at varying lengths, right? They represented Mercury, Venus, Mars, Earth, and all the other planets. And they were geared by cogs and belts to make them move around the sun in perfect harmony. Are you with me right here? So one day, Newton's like studying the model, and a friend walks in who does not believe in the biblical account of creation. And he stopped by for a visit. He's marveling at the device. He's watching the scientists like make the quote unquote heavenly bodies move in their orbits. And he's like, my gosh, Newton, what an exquisite thing. Who made it for you? And Newton was like, without looking up, nobody. His friend asked, what do you mean nobody? He's like, nobody. Yeah, I said nobody. All these balls and cogs and belts and gears just came together magically. And wonders by chance, began revolving in their set orbits and with perfect timing. The unbeliever got the message, right? It's foolish to think that that model could happen. But how much more foolish to believe that people think there is no God? But even though people believe there's a God, the question is, do they want to know him? See, it's one thing to say, I believe in God. It's another thing to say, am I actively seeking God? Now, let's read here in Genesis 1.
Come on, bro.
In the beginning... Well, I can stop right there. You know why? Because that means that there was a beginning, which means that the world did not always exist, which goes along with Einstein's theory of relativity. But let's move on for the sake of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's pretty cool. And God said, let there be... light. And there was light. Now God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Then there was evening, then it was morning, the first day. Now, we're going to talk about this whole day stuff, because the Hebrew word here is yom. The question then becomes, well, how long was a day? Well, we don't really know how long a day was here, because we don't even know when the sun, which dictates, you know, when the earth rotates, right, how long a day is. We don't even know yet, do we? Let's keep reading. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. There was evening, there was morning, the second day. Okay, so the first day was what?
Light,
right? Darkness, night. Then the second day was what? Sky. Okay. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. Now that in and of itself is interesting. If you have studied any science at all, there's this guy, long dead, Carolus Linnaeus, who basically developed this whole system, taxonomy, which talks about system of animals, plants, birds, etc. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
That happened, he developed the whole classification in the 1700s. Right here in Genesis, God's telling, according to its kinds, according to its kinds, according to its kinds.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Come on, bro.
And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, there was morning, the third day. Okay, so the third day now, we got land, we got seeds, we got vegetation, right?
Yes.
Okay. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Oh. So did we know how long a day is yet?
No.
No, because right here on the fourth day is when he's now making the lights in the sky to mark the seasons and days. So right now we don't know how long a day is.
Uh-huh. Come on, bro.
And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day. Which one do you think that is?
Sun.
All right. And the lesser night to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. There was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land. Okay, so what do we got so far? Remember, first day was what? Light. Second day, sky. Third day, land, seas, vegetation, right? Then the fourth day was what? The stars and the sun and the
moon.
Okay. Then the fifth day now, we got the living creatures in the water, right? And the birds. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to its kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move around the ground according to their kinds. This according to their kinds stuff, I'm telling you, you should study it. We're gonna dig into it a little bit more in a little bit. But this is remarkable that there was a classification of species here from the beginning. We didn't figure that out. Scientists didn't figure that out till thousands of years later.
Yeah.
Verse 26. Then God said, let us. Ah, well, that's encouraging. Well, who's us? God, right?
Yeah.
Do you understand the Trinity there?
Yeah.
This is now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word us, of course, the plural is Elohim, right? God in plural in Hebrew here. He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. Now that's unique. Everything else is kind of created, but now God's like, I'm going to make something in my image.
Wow.
Do you understand you're created in the image of God?
Yes.
Are you living?
Yes. Wow.
Are you living in his image?
Wow. Good point.
Because, you know, everything else was created to serve us. But yet, we were created in the image of God. Like, do you believe you're fearfully and wonderfully made?
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes we're like, oh, man, I wish I had this. I wish I looked like this. I wish I was that. I wish I was this. I wish I was this. Augment this. Take away that. Add this. Add that. God's like, I made you.
Wow.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Come on, bro.
Take care of your temple, though. But you were fearfully and wonderfully made, right? He says here, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you notice there's no confusion here.
Yep.
There's male,
yeah,
and there's female.
That's right.
See, the world wants to make things confused. Are you with me right here? But my Bible says there's male and there's female. I saw a picture one time. I don't have time to throw it to you today, but there was this these doctors, and you know, this woman's giving birth, and the woman's like, well, what's the gender of the baby? And the doctors are like, well, in about 14 years, you can ask her to find out. You can ask it to find out. By that time, they'll now made the decision of what they're going to be. Guys, without God's word, the world will continue to get more confused.
Yes.
I'm telling you. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Oh, he's talking to us now, right? He's talking to mankind, right? Mm-hmm. Be fruitful and increase in number. Amen.
Amen.
I know, Talan and Kate just got married. And, amen. Now, you guys, just hang on there. I know y'all want to be fruitful and all that stuff, but amen. Hang on. Be fruitful and increase in number, right? Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You know, it's interesting. After he made everything, he was like, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. But after he made mankind, it is very good. That's what God thinks of you. You are very good. Is that awesome right there? And then it was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth was completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Wow. That's incredible. You know, a lot of people, even a lot of preachers, they when they start a Genesis series, they like to jump over this and go straight into Adam and Eve. Because they're afraid to deal with these issues we just brought up.
Yeah.
Evidence or God. How long is a day? Well, we're going to dig into it today. Are you with me right here? We're going to dig on it. I'm not afraid to get into the Word of God. Are you with me right here? Now, what's interesting, like I mentioned to you before, it says in the beginning, the verse one, in the beginning, shows that universe had a beginning. And did not always exist, right? As scientists had claimed at one point. Scientists had said that universe always existed. And then Einstein's theory of relativity now said, whoa, there was a beginning. And the Bible says that in the first three words. You see, it confirms science. See, the Bible's not a science textbook, but it has scientific evidences in it. Are you with me here? And so you see God's creativity just setting history in motion. Through his wisdom, the world is made. But why is he going through all this effort? Why does God want, why is he creating all this stuff? Hold your spot here. Take a look over in Isaiah. I want to show you something here. It's pretty awesome. God's making creation. He's doing all this stuff. Why? Why? Isaiah 41. Let's read here in verse 4. Are you there?
Yeah.
Isaiah 41, in verse 4, the Bible reads, who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. So why does God do all this stuff? Because he wants people to acknowledge you, to acknowledge him. How is it that people can walk around in the world, see beautiful sunsets, have no control over their breath, their heartbeat, their brain, and not want to acknowledge God?
Yeah.
I thank God that you're here with us today.
Amen.
If you look over in verse 20, look what it says. Why does God do all this? Isaiah 41, verse 20. So that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. God created creation, right? So that we will be drawn to seek him.
Wow.
Do you understand? I mean, guys, when I sit down and study the Bible with atheists and agnostics, I just, okay, let's just talk about creation. Let's talk about the fine-tuning of the earth. If we were 1 mile closer to the sun, we burn. 1 mile further away, we freeze. Spinning a little faster, we fly off. If the gravitational pull is not exactly accurate, we fly off. Everything in us, our bodies, if the stuff in our stomach that, you know, the acid in our stomach was just a little bit off, it would completely rip you apart. You're done. All these incredible things, but yet people still don't want to seek God.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want to be their own God.
Yeah.
Right? Do you really know the character of God this morning? As self-professed Christians, do we really know Christ?
Wow.
That is huge for us, guys. And so, for us here today, like I told you, if you go back to Genesis here, I already talked to you about how that whole Carolus and Linnaeus, how we did the whole taxonomy system there. I gave you that already. It's cool to study that out when you have more time. To let you guys know, we're going to be doing a whole Christian evidences series for the church. I think you guys are going to be fired. It's a whole PowerPoint presentation. We're going to look at evidences for God, evidences for the Bible, and evidences for Jesus.
Amen.
So after we complete this Genesis series, we're going to do that. And I believe it'll be very encouraging. Hopefully we can go to Vitz and do it. It'd be awesome. You can go to Vitz Waterstrand. When we did it at the University of California, UCLA, we had over 400 people in attendance.
Wow.
It was because people want to know. They don't just want to say, oh, my parents told me to believe in God. And yeah, I'm doing it because, you know, my tradition. Do you have deep conviction about why there is a God?
Yeah.
And so we're going to try to deal with that probably, well, after you finish, it's probably in like November or so. But we're going to get into the second law of thermodynamics. We're going to get into law of causality, fine-tuning of the start of the universe,
come on, bro,
the irreducible complexity, storage capacity of DNA. We're going to get into it.
Yes.
It's good when your evangelist is a science background. You know what I'm talking about right there?
Yes.
But really, you're going to see you need more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian.
Amen.
You're going to see. You need more faith to be an atheist. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
Yep.
Yeah.
To believe that stuff is just crazy.
Yeah.
That nothing came out, that everything came out of nothing.
Yeah.
I don't have that faith. Even Charles Darwin, guys. Charles Darwin, who created the theory of macroevolution. Because remember, evolution is a theory. But microevolution means like changes within the species. Like changes different types of dogs. I'm cool with that. God could use that. That's fine, right? Black dogs, white dogs, tan dogs. Cool. But macroevolution is stating that from a gob of goo came you.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
Yes.
Are you with me right there?
Yes.
That from the ant came the cockroach, and from the cockroach came the frog, and from the frog came the dog, and from the dog came the horse, and from the horse came man.
What?
That's a theory. And not to mention, if that was the case, then why aren't there half-breeds?
That's right.
Half dog, half man.
That's right.
Half horse, half man.
Right.
Half turtle, half cockroach. Like, why aren't there, like, in-between half-breeds been found?
Yeah.
Scientists can't answer those questions.
Yeah.
Not to mention, why are there still the first... So if you say an ant went to a cockroach, went to a frog, then why are there still ants?
Right.
Because if it's supposed to, like... evolved, then why are they still there? Okay, we don't have time to go into all that. Even Charles Darwin even said, though, I cannot look at the universe as a result of blind chance. That's Charles Darwin. That's the quote from I cannot look at the universe as a result of blind chance. The guy who developed the theory of evolution, or macroevolution, I should say. So, I got three major points for you today.
Come on, bro. Ready.
I've really kind of shared it all in the scripture, but I'm going to kind of break it down so you can take something from this.
Yeah.
Number one, God was present before life.
Amen.
That's something that a lot of people, like, you got to realize, wow, like, before life began, God was there.
Yes.
Number two, God has a purpose and plan for life. Even from the beginning, he had a plan, right? To develop all creation, but most importantly, to develop you.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand the purpose God has for your life?
Yeah.
Because I think this is one of the things that people get really messed up about. They make their job, they make their family, they make their possessions their purpose.
Yeah.
So if they lose them, then what's the purpose of living?
Yeah.
Why do you think people commit suicide even in the U.S., which is supposed to have everything? You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Because their value, their purpose is in something that it's really not supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And then the last one, God has the power of life.
Amen.
That literally, you know, without God's breath in me, right? I would just be a skin and bones. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Without having a soul and God's breath in you, you'd just be a body like a cadaver in a morgue. So this is huge here. Take a look over at Romans chapter 1. You know, like I said, I want to equip you guys to be able to help others to know God.
Yeah.
And that's why we're setting this on out. And one of the first ways of getting to do that, of being able to be equipped to do that, is understanding creation, understanding how to draw people to God through creation.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it's good to get into the New Testament too, amen. You see this again. In Romans 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly what? Seen, being understood from what? Has been made, so that men are without excuse." No one will be able to stand before God and say, how come you didn't reveal yourself to me? God's like, have you looked in the mirror? Have you looked at the world? You think this all was by chance? Honestly. And so, key point here is that God was present before life. You know, one of the ways that I try to help people see the existence of God is, say, okay, the fine-tuning of God. Imagine if you were to find a watch in the forest, right? Would you assume that it just popped out of the ground?
No.
What would you assume? But why not? Maybe over 3 billion years. 4 billion years, somehow all the metals came together and all the gears and the cogs and the wheels came together to make this pretty cool Seiko. Right? Surely, it only takes billions of years to do that. That doesn't make any sense. Right? Why? Second law of thermodynamics. Order leads to disorder, right? Without some outside influence, right? If you keep going inside of your house back and forth, what's going to happen? Your house is going to get dirty.
Yep.
It's going to break down. Order leads to disorder.
Yeah.
Disorder does not lead to order without an outside element. Your bed will not get made unless you do it. You could say, maybe if I give it 5 billion years, then my bed will magically get made. It will not get made by itself. Are you with me right here?
Yeah.
And so these are the things you got to help people understand, right? You understand a watch had a watchmaker. In the same way, God did the same. Now, I already talked to you about the whole day stuff. But now let's talk about purpose. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Is your purpose to be an engineer? Doctor, lawyer? I don't know. Martial artist? Right? What is your purpose? To be a father? A mother? Because here's the thing. If, for example, you say, my purpose is to be a parent. Okay, what if you can't have kids?
Yeah.
Or what if your kids die? Do you no longer have a purpose?
Wow.
I want to be a basketball player. This is what I want. I want to be the best cricket player. I want to be the best rugby player known to man. Okay, then you break your leg.
Yeah.
Have you lost your purpose? Should you just go ahead and just end it all?
Come on, bro.
Are you with me right here?
Yeah.
Guys, this is huge. Where do people find their purpose today? Let's be honest. Okay, this isn't rhetorical. Where do people find their purpose today? Their job? Where else?
Relationships.
If I get married, yes. But Pastor, didn't you say that you need to be fruitful and multiply? Oh, yes. So I have to get married in order to fulfill that purpose, right? People say that. People say that. I mean, you could always adopt too. But I mean, honestly, some people think if I don't get married, what will I do with my life?
Come on, Andrew.
Jesus wasn't married.
Yep.
Paul wasn't married. So I guess if you want to be just like Jesus for real, maybe stay unmarried. No, but then that does go with the whole be fruitful and multiply stuff. And Jesus was only here for 3 years anyway, at least on ground. So I get that. I know Ariel's pretty fired up about that because she's now engaged to Alsace. Amen. But I think this is huge for us because in a lot of ways, people get their value from what the world tells them to put value in. They get their value from their beauty. They get their value from their intelligence. They get their value from their strength. They get their value from all these things that ultimately can be taken away. Because there's always going to be someone smarter than you.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone stronger than you.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? I mean, so are we really looking to truly know God? You know, for me, take a look with me over here. Excuse me. In Genesis, let's go back to Genesis for a quick second.
Come on, Andrew. Come on, bro. It's awesome.
Come on, bro.
Genesis chapter 1, 2. This is probably the toughest sermon of all the sermons here in Genesis. Because you got to make a sermon from this. Yeah. You know? But it's cool because you get to see, wow, God was present before life. He has a purpose and plan for your life. Take a look here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. See what the Bible says here. It says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, that's interesting. It's like a two-step process there. He created man, but it's like there's a body on the ground, right? And it wasn't until God said, his soul, whoa. That's what makes us different than everything else. You have a soul.
Yeah.
Whoa. Right? And so the question now becomes is, what does God want to do with us now that he's created us, right? What is the purpose that he has in store? Take a look over in Galatians 4.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
I want to show you something kind of cool here. He really does have a purpose for our lives. I know for me, I never thought I would be in South Africa. I thought I'd be in the U.S. for the rest of my days, right? I remember Ben Cornell, I used to kind of joke about it with the other disciples here, how in a lot of ways I would walk past the Africana building, studies building, and I'd be like, I don't need to study no Africana classes. I ain't going to Africa. God's like, aha, the joke is on you. Now I'm ready to live and die here.
Come on,
you know? But here in Galatians chapter 4, it's cool because it says in verse 4, let's read here. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Well, that's interesting. So what is he saying here? He's saying that we were born, right? If we know God and we come to know his son, we receive the full rights of sons. Like, do you believe you're a true son and daughter of God? And that you're going to receive the full rights and privileges and everything that God now wants to give to you? Do you really believe that? And it says here, to redeem those under the law. So literally, Jesus came, the image of God, to show us what? Who he is, so we can become more like Jesus, right? To redeem us from our sins, right? So that we might receive the full rights of sons. You know, for us here today, you've got to ask yourself, wow, have you been redeemed?
Yeah.
Do you know what it means to really become a Christian? Because a lot of people say, okay, if I go to church and I have a cross around my neck, I'm therefore a Christian.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Actually, turn over to John chapter 1. You know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, we're trying to understand our purpose, right? God wants us to know him. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants us to be redeemed. Like, God's purpose for you is for you to be redeemed.
Yeah.
Is that awesome right there?
Yeah.
Like, God actually doesn't just want you to live and just kind of do whatever you want to do. But God wants you to be redeemed from your sin. Is there any sin in your life this morning that is holding you captive, that you feel you're enslaved to? Right? Like, for me, when I was growing up, pride, immorality, deceit, these were all core sins. What about you? You know, if you're a guest here, I want to encourage you. When you study the Bible, get open about your life.
Yeah.
Don't try to keep it in and be like, oh, I got to look a certain way. Just, God wants to redeem you of that.
Yeah.
Remember, you were created in his image, right? So, like, we look at kids and we're like, wow, look how special they are. Look how beautiful they are. But then they grow up. And the world influences them, right?
Yeah.
And the question is, why do we, like, not curse around kids, but yet the world curses around each other? Why do we not smoke around kids, but the world smokes around each other? Why is that? Why? We were created for something special, something pure, and something good. And then when we get older, we think, oh, now because I'm older, it's okay to do these things. It never was okay to do these things.
Yeah.
And that's what those are the things God wants to redeem us from.
Come on, bro.
Your purpose is to know God and be redeemed of those sins.
Yeah.
Take a look here in John 1. There was a purpose for why God even sent John the Baptist. Take a look in John 1 here. This is pretty powerful. John 1, verse 31. Look what it says here. It says, verse 29. We can start in verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. That was the whole point. Our purpose is to be redeemed. But have you been redeemed? Do you even know what that means to be saved? It goes on. It says here, this is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Right? Before Jesus came into the world as a physical human, he was before, right? He was God. He was us in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Look at verse 31. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Mm. Wow. So what do we see here? We see that, wow, it's not just enough. We want to know God, but we also want to make him known.
Yeah.
That's why Bosch got baptized.
Yes.
Because he realized, whoa, I want to be redeemed. I want to be forgiven of all my sins. And I want the world to know what true Christianity is like.
Yes.
Friends, I'll tell you right now. You do not become a Christian by saying a prayer. God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I challenge you right now. Show me the scripture that says that. There is no scripture in the Bible that says, pray this prayer with me.
That's
God,
right.
Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Amen. Hallelujah! I'm a Christian! That's not in the Bible.
Come on, Andrew.
Would you like me to show what is in the Bible?
Show us, bro.
I'll tell you Acts chapter 2. Let's take a look.
Come on, show it.
Let's just see. Because I want you to fulfill your purpose. Amen?
Amen?
I want you to be redeemed of your sin. I want you to know God and make him known. But if you don't know what it actually means to be forgiven of your sin, then sadly, you won't. Acts chapter 2, let's read here. Let's see what this Bible says here. Are you there? Acts chapter 2, verse 36. I got one more scripture after this, and then I'm sitting down.
Come on, bro.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So, how do we crucify Jesus? By what? Our sins. Right? That's where you have to get redeemed. Both Lord and Christ, which means both Lord and Savior. Right? Now, everybody likes the Savior part, but they don't like the Lord part. They're like, ah, I want Jesus to save me. Amazing grace. They'll sing songs. They'll talk about God's grace all day. But they don't want to make him Lord of their lives. They don't want to stop sinning. They want to keep sinning, and then, you know, then I'll go to church on Sunday and say, God, please forgive me, and then go right back to sinning.
Yeah.
Try that with your wife. Hey, wife, you know, sweetie, I'm going to be faithful to you for 6 days of the week, but on Saturday, I got to go to the club and get my groove on. And then on Sunday, though, I'll be back, and I'll give you my best. You wouldn't even do that with your wife or with your spouse. But can you imagine? But yet, people do that today, and they don't even give God 6 days. They give him 1 day. They're like, hey, exactly, I'll give you the morning. God, I'm committed to you. And then they go that night.
Yeah.
Or that afternoon. My wife's going to be sharing for communion today. I'm looking very forward to hearing her. Amen. Well, let's wrap up here. It says, when the people heard this, they were what? They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, they said brothers because they were all Jewish brothers.
Yeah.
Not because they were in Christ. Just important clarification right there. Because Acts is the history book of the New Testament.
Yeah.
So if you want to know how people became Christians, you got to read the book of Acts.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, bro.
It says here, verse 38. Are you there?
Yeah.
Peter replied, just pray a prayer.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
Does it say speak in tongues?
No.
No? What does it say? Repent and be baptized. Isn't that what John the Baptist was calling people to do?
Yes.
Wow. Fulfilling his purpose.
Yes.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, this is important, too, because can babies repent?
No.
Then why do people baptize babies? Why do churches baptize babies, even though a baby What are you doing? What? Like, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Not to mention, baptism was a full submersion in water. Right? Not this sprinkling stuff. That's maptizo. That's a different Greek word. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yes.
Not as the result of. Because
yes.
Some people say, yes, Pastor, I've gotten baptized. Though. What do you mean you've gotten baptized? Well, how did you get baptized? What did you get baptized for?
Yeah.
Oh, I got baptized as an outward sign of inward faith.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible says.
No, it doesn't.
The Bible says that you're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ at baptism. You got real quiet.
Come on, bro. Come with us.
Because a lot of people aren't teaching this message.
Yes.
And a lot of churches aren't teaching this message. Are you with me right here? People believe you pray a prayer to be saved. You chaka-taka mama say mama sama makusa to be saved. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just trying to say this is what people do.
Yes.
There's a spiritual ignorance.
Yes.
And let me tell you, being in Lagos, Nigeria for 3 years, I was shocked to see the level of religiosity and corruption at the same time within the church. People would actually say, you know what? Parents would say, you know what? You need to go sleep with that guy in order to make sure, or the parents would tell the guy, go sleep with that girl in the church to make sure she can give you kids. Then you guys can get married.
Wow.
In the church.
Yep.
True.
You think I'm joking?
Wow.
Guys, I kid you not.
Wow.
You look at this passage right here, and it's very clear. Repent. What does repent mean? You do a whole 180.
Yeah.
Are you with me right here?
Yeah.
And be baptized. That's full submersion right there. In the name of Jesus Christ, for. The Greek word for, E-I-S, for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
Not as the result of a prayer. And you receive the gift of what?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit that was hovering over the waters, even at the beginning. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord of God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So were they saved yet?
No.
No. Did they believe in God?
Yes.
Did they want to repent?
Yes.
But were they baptized?
No.
So were they saved?
No.
Come on, bro.
So just because you believe in God, just because you say, I want to live a repentant life, does that save you?
No.
That's like me saying, here's a glass of water.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. Lay it out, lay it out, lay it out.
Here's a cup of water. It's fresh. It's good. You will drink it.
Drink it. Tastes good.
Mm.
Come on.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Now, in Nigeria, one of the things I noticed in Lagos is that people don't necessarily have a lot of regard for using restrooms. They just kind of use the restroom wherever they want. Oh, they'll be on the street just... You think I'm joking? You need to come to Lagos, Nigeria. Now, imagine if someone said, you know what? Now, this is how God created us, pure, clean, like a little baby, right?
Yeah.
But then over time, what happens? We sin.
Yeah.
It's like urinating in the water bottle.
Mm.
Now, after you urinate, would you want to say,
No.
No. Are you with me right here?
Yeah. Yes.
You would not want to drink it. But you know, if I only put a couple drops of urine in there, and you didn't know, you probably still think, right? But if I put a lot in it, you could see the difference, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people think, well, you know what? I'm a good person. I only lie from time to time.
Yeah.
I only cheat from time to time.
Come on, Ed.
I'm a good person. You see, you can't even really see much difference. Then another guy's like, bro, I done killed, murdered, raped, done all this stuff. It's clear. But you know what? God still says, if you got urine in here, you fail. Any type of sin, you fail.
Yes.
That's why we all need to be redeemed. Are you with me right here? But that's what God's talking about. God wants us to be redeemed. And he says here, with many other words, he warned them, please don't save yourself. So when people say, I believe, okay, I can believe that if I repent, I'll be saved. You can say, you know what? I believe, I want to repent. I'm going to stop peeing into this water bottle. But does that save you?
No.
No, because the pee is still in there.
Yes.
It's not until you've been redeemed that now you can go forward.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Baptism is the point in time where you get redeemed.
Yeah.
And if you have questions about that, please study the Bible.
Yes.
It says here, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I'm praying that one day the Johannesburg church will be 3,000 strong. I look forward to that day. But before we get there, let's get the 300 first. Amen, family? Let's close on out here with 2 Peter. Amen? You know, it's been a privilege to be able to speak to you this morning. It's a privilege to study the Word of God. And I hope you've seen from my heart, you've seen from the scriptures that I'm not adding my interpretation. I'm not adding my emotions or tradition. I'm just trying to show you the Word of God. The question for you today is whether you're going to accept the Word of God or whether you're going to accept your own tradition, whether you're going to accept your own interpretation.
Yeah.
There are many churches out there that will say what you want to hear. They won't challenge you to go back to this. They'll just say, listen to what the guy says up front, and as long as you read his books and know him by name, you're okay. I'm not here for you to follow me. I'm here for you to follow Christ.
Come on,
amen? And remind me of your name, my friend.
Sanele.
Sorry?
Sanele.
Hey, be praying for Sanele. He is studying. He's up to the cross study. He could be baptized soon. I just met him today. So proud of the work of what God is already doing here. Let's be praying for Sanele to make it this Sunday, next Sunday. Amen? He's studying the Bible. He sees the truth. And I believe you'll become our brother very soon. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's close out here. The Bible clearly says here, starting in verse 1, it says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." I hope I've stimulated you to some wholesome thinking this time, to really see God. "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water." Hey, that's Genesis 1, guys.
Yeah.
"By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed." We're going to get to Noah in a couple weeks. "By that same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire." Oh, so no more water anywhere. Now it's fire time, right? "Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? Repentance." I ask you this morning, do you even know what it means to repent of the sins in your life? Do you even want to acknowledge that you have sins? Or do you just think you're great? It says here, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." You won't know when he comes. "The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." You know, I look at this passage right here, I'm like, wow. After reading this, you have to ask yourself, have you responded to the Word of God?
Wow.
Have you allowed the Word of God to show you the life that you desperately need, to live in the image of God that you were created to live for? Are you living in the darkness of sin? Or are you truly repenting? Are you with me right here, guys? Are you making every effort to be found what? Spotless, blameless, and what? At peace. You see, the good news is when you know the word of God, when you repent and you're truly a baptized disciple, God's like, I wash all that away. That's what God wants to do with you. You know, as I said, let's study the Bible together today, family. If you're a guest here, we want to get to know you more. We want to share our lives and be open with you about our lives. Amen? Don't feel like you have to hide. We're here. We're family. Amen?
Amen.
But a lot of people think they can achieve the good life by money, sex, and power. Trust me, it's not. When they stand before God, his call is one of obedience to his voice.
Yeah.
I'm here just to be a messenger this morning.
Yeah.
My prayer is that my voice has been just a message from God to you.
Wow.
That's what my prayer is. By reading his word. Not from me, but from reading his word. Whose voice are you listening to this morning? Are you listening to the voice of creation? God Almighty. Or are you listening to something else? You see, if you're not listening to the voice of creation, the voice of God, you're listening to the voice of the devil. I hope you'll make the right decision. Thank you, and God bless you.
Let's turn our songbooks to 351.
Come on, bro.
Our God is alive.